This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
Yeah, Film Vault. Sí, el Film Vault. Bienvenidos a Film Vault.
Cállate, Brian. Cállate. Brian.
Está Brian Bishop.
All right, yes.
Estan Anderson.
Hey, yo, Carmelo.
Can I?
Whatever. All right. What happened to my... Everything sounded good, and then...
Be bold there.
What happened?
Welcome to Film Vault, everyone. Check. That's Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts for today. Top five Spanish language films. Happy Cinco de Mayo, Anderson.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. Is it today or tomorrow?
It's on the verge, but I celebrate Cinco de Mayo weekend, so I'll be celebrating all weekend.
Hey, do you know what Cinco de Mayo is all about?
It's the victory of the Spanish military, Mexican military, over the, I'm going to say French. Is that it?
You know way more than I would expect you to know.
Most people think it's, Independence Day, which is not true.
1810 for Mexico over there. Yeah, I guess from what I understand.
Boy, I'm ignorant. We should have looked that up beforehand.
Well, I did. I mean, I knew that it was over Napoleon, which was
It is the French.
Yeah, it's the French. I said, good job.
Sorry. I thought you were saying that's more than you thought I would know.
From what I understand is Mexico declared to all the people that they're in business with, and all the other nations, they said, "Hey guys, we're gonna put a little moratorium, hold off on paying debts." I could have this part wrong, but this is what I read.
This is what the after disaster academic disaster should be.
It could be, and then
off the top of your head,
people were very upset, very upset, and the English, the French, and the Spanish, they all invaded, and the Spanish and the English got out early. And Napoleon had a very strong army.
Yeah, he did. The world's best army.
And, and they held him off. They killed over 1,000 people at the Battle of Cinco de Mayo. The Battle of Puebla.
I wish I knew.
But most people are. I figure if you're going to get hammered for a date, you should know.
True.
Celebrating the honor of Mexico's
Before the bartender serves you.
Over at France at the Battle of Puebla during the Franco-Mexican War, 1861-1867, despite having... A small band of fighters, the Mexicans were able to defeat the massive French army on May 5th, 1862.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
So that's what, and then you also suggested that we do top five Mexican characters, which is a fine topic. Sure. And I wasn't trying to just be the contrarian that I normally am.
Well, I threw out two ideas and you liked one of them.
But I kind of fought for this one, and I'll be honest, why? I recently got an email from a listener.
Okay.
And it had a little bit of... critiquing in it, constructive criticism, and I took it to heart. And I just got that email probably the night before that you suggested this, and I think that this guy had a pretty good a point, which was we've been doing a lot of scenes and or characters or secondary things to films, and it's been a while since we've just done top five films. You know what I mean?
I understand.
And so that's kind of why I fought for it. I thought maybe there was a point to that, and in doing my list this week. Brian, I don't think I've had a list that five films that I could stand behind as strong as these in months.
I feel very good about
that. So I think
that
listener might have been onto something.
A lot of crossover, I assume. So we'll have some crossover.
Foreign language films, they tend to feel like homework, such as black and white films as well. And I can promise you that all five of my films, any of which, if you have not seen, will not be like homework, and you can enjoy them, bask in them. Strong, strong list.
Well done.
Very excited.
Yeah, I'm excited for mine too. All films I like very much. All films I watch again right now. In fact, a couple of them you can stream today if you have the means.
I've seen all my top five more than once, except for one. There's only one that I have not seen more than once.
Interesting.
All right, so let's flick.
Jump right into it. You are truly Trumpian in the way that all you need is a suggestion and it'd be
no negative. Brian,
it affects your entire platform. Listeners, if you have anything you really want to hear on this show, email Anderson and he will take it. He'll take it as though 1,000 people are
email me
it.
And I'll read it, and most of the time I respond to whatever you email. However, I get you have no idea the amount of suggestions. I mean, you. I don't know if if you're Trumpian in the sense that you continue to harp on the same fucking things over and over again that come up on the show, and you do this all the time with me. Like, if I have the gall to suggest that I actually listen to a listener and they had a good suggestion, then you just launch into this, oh, it's a very, what's the word that you always use?
Confirmation bias?
Yes. You love to do that.
You do have confirmation bias.
So, I get tons of suggestions, most of which involve hurting you.
That's a really humble brag. I get a lot of suggestions. I'm going to brag about it.
No suggestions would be a humble brag. Like, no one ever suggests anything.
No one ever suggests anything. They realize what I'm doing is perfect.
No, I get a number of emails from listeners. I mean, you know, we fall into a lot of people's ears.
Suggest that you hurt me?
And a lot of the suggestions involve, they suggest that I punch you when you do certain things, which I don't even bring to the program. Mm. But every now and again, I'll get a suggestion that, you know, it kind of hits home. And I'm like, you know what? There might be something to that. So that was the case. And I could have easily kept that to myself, but I thought I'd share it with you and the listeners.
I like that.
And then you use it against me.
No.
That's the kind of person you are.
Stop.
That's the kind of person you are. So let's get into it. Flick fa. Oh, Sean. Oh, wait. Oh, quick. We are now, I'm going to start going a little bit harder in the crease now that we are a month away from groupers.
Oh, that is that's real hockey
a
term.
Reality. Groupers is going to be reality. And here's
it will be seen by people.
I was thinking about it on the way over.
People
here.
Not related to you.
And it's kind of like this. Right. It's kind of like a wedding because there's so much that goes into
it's
it. And I'm not going to bore you with all the details, but I'm wearing many hats and I'm literally finishing.
You are
the film.
A wedding planner as well as the bride and the groom.
Yes.
Yeah. And the officiant.
Finishing the film. I'm finishing this creation, this baby of mine, if you will, right? And there's a ton of work that goes into that. I'm driving all over town with the boy a lot of the time, meeting with VFX artists on the phone and emails with my score composer. There's all sorts of, you know, the finishing, my sound team is calling. I'm flying into Chicago in a couple of weeks to finish this, do the final sound mix. There's a ton of that going on still with the actual physical film. And then there's also the organization of these events, right?
True.
And it feels
the infrastructure of the actual event.
And I was negotiating just today with a guy with a venue. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on, and it's kind of like a wedding. It is a lot.
I can see that.
I've not done this much planning since the film. Before that,
you're getting cold feet.
The wedding, not getting cold feet. But what I'm doing here is that it's kind of like I'm inviting all of you. who live in the vicinity to come out to my little wedding. And it is kind of like a marriage. Like, I'm going to attach myself to this film. I mean,
you'll publicly declare your attachment to this film?
Right. Yeah.
Lifelong attachment.
I guess I still have time to back out and just bury it. Mm. And that would be a huge letdown to a lot of people.
That'd be a lot. You have to send a lot of apology cards.
And I know that not everyone's going to love this film, but I'm nowhere close wanting to bury it. But come on out to see my wedding. It's like a marriage. I'm getting married. Go. And I like to think of films as like friends. I can never be friends with this because it's like my child. Mm. Like, I would never be friends with Atticus. I'm going to be his father.
Sure.
I'm close to him. Could have a great relationship with him, but I'm not gonna be his buddy.
Do you call him buddy?
I do sometimes. But I can never be friends with this film because I just know I see all its faults and I get upset with things and I've seen it too much. However, you know, hopefully it'll be like your friend. And you'll see it again when it shows up, you know, on the streaming platforms down the road.
Well, friend, it's like when the status pops up on Facebook or something. You're like, oh, what's that guy up to?
And then to be able to say like, hey, I was there for like one of the first screenings or the first screening, as is the case for the LA screening. So come on down. Got my step and repeat, and I got hooked up with the lights, and it looks like I'm going to do the AstroTurf instead of the red carpet because that's kind of douche I am.
If we're extending the analogy, what's up with the bachelor party?
There is no bachelor party. I don't have time for the bachelor party.
That's a good point.
Yeah, no time. No time! But yeah, very excited to have you all to my wedding, to my marriage, to my first film.
And give a rundown of the cities you'll be getting married in?
June 2nd is the big one. That's the one that's most close, and that's L.A. And then San Diego, nailed that down. June 23rd, that's San Diego. I did it on a weekend when we don't have the Padres in town, so we will have downtown to ourselves.
Yeah.
Jolton Joe's, it's right by where the Padres play, Petco, nice. Right by Petco. Jolton Joe's, gas lamp there, that's June 23rd. That's my second one. And then there's plenty others. You just go to groupersthemovie.com to get your tickets or see the dates. Also, I had to move a couple dates, Portland and Seattle. I had to bump it up a week.
All right.
So we're doing that on the 18th and 19th, Portland, 18th of August, and Seattle, the 19th of August. And it was unforeseen circumstances. I could not really avoid it. I told the wife that I would check into switching it because something huge came up for her. And I was able to. We're still like 4 months out. But you know what happened, Brian? August 18th, I'm going to be in Portland showing my movie. You know who else is going to be in Portland August 18th?
The Pittsburgh Penguins?
Ween.
Yeah. That just makes sense. There's no hockey team in Pittsburgh.
Ween is playing. I'm competing with Ween.
We'll invite him over.
So I let all my, everyone that's already bought a ticket for one of those shows, I let you all know. I've been emailing back and forth, and pretty much everyone is able to switch the dates because we're far enough out. But yeah, it sucks. Ween's playing Friday night too, so I might be able to actually squeeze in that show.
Wow.
Somebody actually accused me of switching the dates so that I could do that. Didn't even know. I would never try and compete with Ween.
But no, but my favorite band now you can piggyback on Ween.
Do piggies with Ween.
That's right. Piggies.
Yeah, but my favorite band of all time is playing right down the street from...
Think about that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Anyways,
you're essentially co-headlining.
So very excited to get this up and running and to get it out there and... get it out there in the it's like a little fledgling, and I'm gonna let it fly.
And it's been like, you know, it's been with you this whole time. You know, obviously people that are associated with the filmmaking, but it's been with you. Now it's gonna be out into the world.
Oh, I saw some friends over the weekend, and it was a horrible 4-year-old's birthday party. The 4-year-old's not horrible; she's great.
The birthday party
with the bouncy house and
it's pretty rough
cake and all that shit. And I found myself there. Wife didn't come; I was by myself.
Oh boy!
And my very good friend who was throwing the party, she's like, hey, I'm gonna come to the premiere, and I'm gonna sit in the back, and I just want to let you know I'm gonna look at my feet the entire time. I'm not gonna watch any of it. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, I can't watch horror films. I'm like, you dumb fuck. It's not a horror film. She's like, I saw the teaser. I'm like, there's not one jump scare. There's nothing scary about this fucking movie. There's some tension and thriller elements here and there, if I'm lucky, but it's a fucking comedy. So she kept it up. I'm like, all right, fine. You know what? Don't come.
Yeah.
Don't come.
Can't watch. Just try not to watch.
All right, let's get to it.
Hey, speaking of getting things off the ground, mm-hmm. You want to flick fest?
Let's do it, sorry.
Let's confess the flicks we've seen in the past week.
Oh, shirts. We'll talk about shirts next week. I mean, next segment.
Okay, shirts.
Thank you to everybody who's bought shirts.
Thanks to all you guys who have bought the shirts so far. That's been quite a number of you, and appreciate it.
Yes, we're going to be able to get a new board with this.
New shirts are available.
Yes, our finest, most comfortable, sleekest looking shirt yet, Film Vault shirt. Like how we said, we won't talk about it now, and now we are. You can get them over at andersonandbryan.com. I will also tweet about it, and so will Brian.
We're not talking about it right now.
Well, we just did. Now we don't have to again.
I have to apologize, Anderson. It was a busy week.
Oh, jeez.
I know. Tessa was sick and stayed home from school yesterday, and before that, Christy was out of town. I was alone with her, so I did not get Did not get a chance to see the big movie of the week, the movie that...
You're lying.
I should have seen.
Oh, okay, I see what you're doing. You're doing
it. Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
Right.
I actually didn't get to see it.
Oh, you didn't get to see the treasure.
And I want to see it too. So
how many movies did you see?
Just saw the one.
It's upsetting, Brian.
It is. Although you still owe me two movies, two good movies.
You owe me two.
I don't know. I owe you just the one. Just
you owe me two.
What's the second one?
Yeah, which one do you think you owe me?
It's Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
No. You owe me three now.
What do I owe you?
You owe me Near Darkness.
Oh, no.
Yeah, false. You watched like 18 minutes of that.
I watched the whole thing.
No, you did not.
I watched all clips, of Bill Paxton scenes.
Which were, that's 18 minutes. No, he's in more of it than that. And also, you owe me a Serbian film.
I've watched a Serbian film.
No, you didn't follow it at all.
Do you want me to read you the synopsis that
transcribed? Look, that's another suggestion that I get from listeners all the time. They suggest that I don't even watch these fucking horrible movies that you suggest, that you assign me, that I just read up on them, like Cliff Notes. And then report back, and no one would be the wiser. And I'm like, I couldn't look anyone in the eye if I did that. That's not the kind of person I am.
Mm.
That's
You're an honorable man.
I'm just saying, a bet's a bet, and you don't seem to adhere to that.
I've seen every film you've assigned. This is the first film I've been able to see. So apologize, but I will be seeing The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, a film I've been put off for way too long, my entire life actually, up to this point. But I did see a film, Anderson, in theaters.
You owe me those movies.
I will be seeing Treasure of the Sierra Madre. Have no fear. But the reason I only watched the clips is because you couldn't find Near Dark or whatever the hell it's called. After Dark? Near Dark? What's it called?
Near Dark. I called it Near Dark. It's Near Dark.
I did see a film in theaters, though.
You'll find it. Yes.
Avengers, Infinity War.
Oh, that came out?
It came out. The title feels like subtle trolling, but it came out. Avengers, Infinity War, directed by Anthony and Joseph Russo.
Why does the title sound like...
Because they're kind of like acknowledging, like, yeah, we know, it's going on forever.
Oh,
we
I
get
see.
It. Like, you know, it's Infinity War. I understand.
No, it's the Infinity Stones, you fuck.
I understand. That's why I said subtle trolling. Subtle.
I think it would have been called Infinity War regardless.
Now, Logan, you've seen this because you still have your headphones on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course I've seen it.
Well, don't say, of course. What was the other one? Was it Ready Player One or something you didn't see?
I almost didn't see it, though, Justice because League, you know. I realized as I was walking into the theater for tickets that I had bought 2 months prior with popcorn and sodas in hand, and realized I was at the wrong AMC.
Oh, my God. Oh,
no. So I had to run to the customer service, and fortunately, right as I ran up to the desk, the guy in front of me was getting a refund for his tickets. I'm like, just give me those tickets. I don't care. I'll pay for them.
What'd you do with your popcorn and his Coke? You bring it with you?
Oh, yeah. I kept them. I wasn't going to lose
them. Wait, in the wrong theater?
No, at the wrong AMC theater.
So would you?
I was across town.
How would you get the popcorn and Coke across town?
I didn't. I went to customer service and bought the tickets that the guy at the table just bought.
I just picture it and like throwing them in his car and hope for the best.
So unfortunately, I had to sit like second row.
So you bought 2 months in advance for nothing?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I didn't even get a refund for those tickets, too.
Foolio.
So I paid for twice the amount of tickets.
Twice. No movie pass involved, huh? All right. Let's talk about Infinity War because I too saw it. And for the sake of this program, and just to get it out of the way, because I knew that eventually I would be assigned it.
Brings together every character from the previous Marvel movies, all the actors and all the characters, even some I wasn't even sure had been in movies before. Had the girl with the red balls in her hands, had she been in a movie before?
She came in the second Avengers movie.
Who's the girl with the red
balls? She was with
Vision.
The guy that ran fast. And that guy.
Olsen?
Ran fast? The X-Men?
That's based on the same character, but they renamed it for the movie rights of Avengers.
God, I don't remember that at all.
Mr. Torch, Mr. Flash, what's his name?
That's another Human Marvel Torch. Character.
Human Torch?
Quicksilver.
Or is there a Human Torch involved in this one? Because one of the nerds, and there were nerds there.
The guy who plays the Human Torch was in this film, but he is not.
So that was at the nerd. Was he playing Mystic or whatever the guy's name is?
Vision?
Yeah.
That's Paul Bettany.
Who's the Human Torch? Because when that guy came on screen first,
Chris Evans.
One of the nerds in the audience yelled Human Torch.
Oh yeah, he's talking about that guy was being funny. Oh,
okay, yeah, Captain America with his beard.
That guy was being funny. I guess he kind of.
You're right. It wasn't Vision. Okay, all right. Let's get to the actual review now.
Josh Brolin, of course, is Thanos. $250 million opening weekend. 84% Rotten Tomatoes. Just getting the particulars out of the way. Anderson.
Yeah.
You must have had. What were your expectations going into this movie? I was going to say low, but what were your expectations?
You know my feelings on the MCU over there and how it's just a money grab. And they are I understand that if it wasn't this and listeners continue to point out to me, if it's not this, it would have been something else. I understand that. But I think we can still do better, right? Mm. But I also am grappling with this. Okay, so these are based on comics that came out in the 1960s. Am I to believe that all these people that are insane over these movies, Logan, you included, are obsessed with these comics from the 60s? Did you really go back and read the comics?
I'm not a comic book fan.
Shit.
Because that's what people usually say to me. It's like, we're just very happy to see these comic books come into real life after all these years of waiting. And it's like, you're fucking 20. What are you talking about?
You've known these characters before. And it's a lot of lore that you've just heard. Some people have read all of them. I mean, they're pretty accessible now.
Okay.
You can find all those comics online for a subscription service.
So I was dreading it, especially with the runtime. And I thought that I had an idea of what I was getting myself into. And that being said, what are you having a meltdown about?
I just realized I deleted all the spoiler stuff I wanted to talk about. Damn it. We're going to do a little bonus spoilers.
How'd you do that, buddy?
I copy and pasted something I shouldn't have copy and pasted.
Can you control Z that shit?
Nah, it's all gone.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
It's upsetting, right? It happened to me a couple weeks ago. Sorry, buddy. And I was kind of hoping
The meat of what I had to talk about is still here, but there was some spoiler stuff that I wanted to get into.
I also thought of this while watching it. Thank God for our new Patreon format, because it's hard to talk about this movie without being able to just let loose. So
it is, yeah.
We are going to get into some stuff.
We need to bridle ourselves in the
Patreon bonus, where we're going to spoil the fuck out of it, and you can listen to that if you're a Patreon member after you actually see it.
That's right. Don't worry about our review here. We'll be spoiler-free.
I thought it did a pretty good job keeping it to 2.5 hours with all of the stuff that they jammed in there. They
felt a lot shorter than 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it actually went by pretty quick.
And
then
the previous two Avengers films, I was looking at my watch quite often, my phone quite often, like, how the fucking long is this?
And but they could have easily broken this up into a couple different movies.
I was surprised they didn't.
Well, they kind of did.
Well, they are.
Yeah, but they could have done this, I think, three.
They're continuing this next year.
Oh, right. But I mean, like Infinity Wars Part 1, you know what I mean? Like,
Originally were going to, and then they decided, I think last year, to change the title of the second one.
Because they
the fourth one, I guess.
They really...
How many more are there?
Just one more.
One more? Okay, cool.
They pack so much in. They could have done three or four. It moves at a breakneck pace. The movie is unrelenting.
It's kind of like they're taking all the best pieces of all the previous movies and
worlds. It's almost like a clip show in a way.
A little bit of a clip show, but all new clips. Imagine that. Yeah. Imagine when you're watching like you know, a really good show that you really enjoy, and they're gonna have a clip show, but it's all the best clips that were never.
It's a real sampler platter.
Yeah.
So the one thing I had observed, which so we talked briefly about it last week, I think, and I wanted to make the point, which is it's regardless of how you feel about superhero movies and MCU and specifically, it's an impressive accomplishment. You know, not just what they've done from the business side of it, which is very impressive, but also this movie, they have to not only juggle just the sheer number of characters and storylines and blah, 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 and keep a cohesive story going, like Infinity Stones, Thanos, all that stuff. They have to juggle tone. Like, the tone of Guardians of the Galaxy is very different than the tone of Black Panther. You know what I mean? And they have to go back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, like, I want to say very different. I mean, they're similar in tone. I think all these movies, that I've been seeing for a while.
They're not calling me by your name.
Same with like Pixar, is like they're different veneers. You get a different veneer on the same kind of model, the same kind of you know, paint by numbers storyline. You know how it's going to end up.
Well, to an extent,
a giant battle with everyone, and then it's going to come down to one on one. It's always the same.
I just thought they did an impressive job of managing the tone throughout, because you had literally Guardians of the Galaxy getting folded into this universe that's established and successful, and now you have to make these, for lack of a better term, these characters get along. Mm-hmm. You know, like when they brought Thor into the Guardians of the Galaxy ship, I liked that moment very much, because I also think they did a great job in the last couple movies, the last lighting up Thor specifically. Yeah. I feel like they cracked the code on Thor, where he's such a boring fucking character.
I don't know if
when
that
the whole thing started.
I don't think that was his tone, though. I think they kind of were desperate because they realized just how wrong the first Thor movies were.
Whatever it was, they figured it out, because it's like, you know, if, I don't know, there's probably a hockey analogy where you've got the guy in the wrong position, or he's on the wrong line or whatever it is, and you're like, oh, we finally figured it out. Now the team's clicking.
He's not a center. He's a left winger.
Whatever it is. Thor was so boring. I think the only one of these movies I didn't see was the second Thor movie. I didn't even bother. I was like, Thor's fucking boring.
You saw Justice League.
How dare you? It's DC Universe.
I don't know. Yeah.
I thought that would be a nice subtle dig at the nerds. I thought that's what you were doing.
No, here's another thing. All right, so there were some de facto nerds in my audience. There was three of them, and they were nerds.
I saw it at 9:40 in the morning.
Nerds in their element, which is that these guys were in their element. They act like obnoxious, like punk rock dudes.
They act they think jocks should act like.
Yeah, there's something about it. It's very off-putting. Like you'd imagine, like, you know, somebody with a rooster or a hawk at a punk rock show, you know, feeling like, yeah, this is my fucking territory. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, you know, acting like they're all at home. Like, these guys were loud, fucking obnoxious. Yeah. They were explaining their opinions on every single trailer that came up. And I was hearing now when the old man showed up driving the bus, here's what I heard. Wait, should I not have said that? Was that a spoiler? Okay.
Oh, the old man.
Should I not have said that?
I don't think that's a spoiler anymore.
Let me just tell you this.
In the context of these movies.
As I heard it, as I saw it, now, you know, I've come accustomed to
Did
when
you think
I
about
see
me?
Him.
I hope you think about me.
No, I never think of you.
How much I hate that.
When he came on, I always just brace for it, and I listened real carefully to the audience, because I got like a hush. Like you hear a little bit of a and then you hear like I could always explain
hear
it,
the
right?
Boyfriends
a lot of time they're explaining it to each other. They both know.
No.
Sometimes. I mean, they feel like everyone feels they have to say something.
It's mansplaining is what it is.
So here's what I heard. That was one of the nerds behind me. The same guy that said, Human Torch! Right? They were at a sporting event.
You know what that is? That's the nerd version in this context of virtue signaling. You've heard of virtue signaling, where like someone's like, "Oh, this thing is bad, and I want everyone to know that I think it's bad."
Yeah, yeah.
That's what the nerds are doing. It's like, I get that. I know what that is.
These nerds, and I was giving every time there were down moments in this movie, and I think that for a
there
lot of people
many.
There weren't many, but there are for me. Like when there's massive amounts of people fighting faceless creatures for ongoing time.
I agree.
I don't care.
That was
I'm
that
bored.
Was,
I mean, it's. I guess that 10 years ago,
it had to be there, but it was. You're right.
I would have been like, "Wow, that's really impressive."
I could have used more Doctor Strange.
I like the jokes that were aimed at Doctor Strange. I think I did laugh out loud one time, and it might have been there. There was some subtle good humor. There was also some horrible clunkers, like this is what we get with Wakanda. I was hoping for a Starbucks. It was a terrible joke. Shouldn't have been omitted. But I did some thinking about these nerds, and like nerds are in right now and more than they ever have been, right?
Right.
I mean, look at you. You're doing okay over there.
Yeah,
you got some juice.
Feeling it. Yeah. Right.
Here's the thing.
I'm not even that big of a nerd.
You know why nerds are in?
More of a geek. Why?
You know what? Because they do shit. They make stuff and they're super smart.
They're smart.
And like
they can code.
They're doing startups and coding and apps and whatnot. I get a feeling that these nerds were just fucking nerds and they sit at home playing like games all day, maybe beating each other off. I don't know if they actually do anything that gives them the right to be proud of, to be nerds.
I know what you're saying, and I'll add to that we both know people. I know friends of yours, especially, who I always think of when there's people in the world that are too smart for their own good. They're really, really smart, but they kind of can't get out of their own way. We'll talk about who it is off the air, but like people... We both know people who are just too smart for their own good. They have all the tools and all the knowledge, and they're smarter than me and probably smarter than you, but they can't put it together and like make life work for them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they overthink things. I think I know who you're talking about.
They overthink, or
one certain person you're talking about. Well, I mean, I know a couple now that I think about it. Yeah, I do have I kind of collect friends like that, don't I?
You do.
Or they break through and they're just, like super successful, Logan, like my buddy Derek.
Just picture Anderson's bachelor party.
Who's a lawyer?
No, don't picture that.
All right, here we go. So I don't know what more we can say. I think it's going to satisfy the people that are. It's hard to evaluate these things because, like, what am I supposed to evaluate the story when it's based on?
I didn't mind the story. I mean,
the story is pretty goddamn simple.
For once, the story was laid out in the previous Avengers. God, let me just say right out, I like this more than all the other Avengers movies.
If I had to rank the Marvel comic universe movies that I have been subjected to, which is the vast majority of them, I think that I've seen maybe 80% of them. Third or fourth on my list.
I said the exact same thing. I think this is my third favorite of the movies. Behind, I would say Iron Man. No. I would say Avengers.
What are you going to say there, bud?
Damn it, I don't know.
Justice League.
Thor Ragnarok and Guardians of the Galaxy I would put above this. But this is
interesting because I have two others. I would put Homecoming and Iron Man.
Those are both very good.
And the original Iron Man.
They're in my top.
The first Iron Man.
Top third or whatever it is. But I would put this probably square number three.
I think it gets a little more deep than any of the other ones that I've seen. I'm tired of the villain, the antagonist. Just wanting to rule or obliterate.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
I love.
He actually had some reason, Thanos, which we'll get into.
Was a principled villain.
I think I might have agreed with Thanos more than everyone else in the movie, which might be a problem, which we'll get into in the spoiler stuff.
Sure.
And I'm not going to say that I almost cried, but I was actually touched before this movie was over.
I agree.
I didn't know that these fucking things could do that to me. And I was a bit touched, and I thought that was really well done.
I agree. What movie by percentage has more CGI, this or Ready Player One?
Ready Player One. Ready Player One is like they have long dialogue sequences where everything's CGI. The character is actually CGI 80% of the time.
So's Thanos.
Yeah, but Thanos isn't. There's a whole lot of real life.
Do you think an Iron Man suit, an actual suit that you or I could wear, a prop, actually exists anymore, or do you think it's just animated?
Animated.
I don't think it exists.
I don't know. Maybe they bring it on just to make it easier for the artists.
Oh, like a stand-in.
I was talking a buddy yesterday who's in the biz, and he was talking to me about DPs and how they're losing control more and more as each day goes by because they actually have these VFX artists on set now, and they'll approve or disprove the shots that they have lined up for the DP, and they'll say to the DP, like, I can't.
It only affects a certain kind of movie, of course, but that's a big movie.
That's a lot of them nowadays. And the VFX artist will say, I can't work with that. You're going to have to reframe that. You're going to have to move this or have this character there. And
that's crazy.
And the DPs are starting to say, like, why am I even, the director of photography here?
Who's directing this camera?
Hey, it's a new age. And, I'm tired of fighting trends. That's my thing. And I get shit for, talking about the overcorrection and the what I hate with the trends with the Ocean's 8 and that kind of thing, and my whole thing is it's like when corporations are making a buck and they're trying to like lead the way of like, look at us, yes, me too, time's up and we're making movies now, and like, and Bill Burr was talking about how they have like shirts at H&M or something where it's like women are saying like enough's enough or something.
Right.
It's like when these corporations are trying to take credit and making a buck off it,
grassroots,
and they're the ones that actually created the fucking culture that it's getting railed against. It's just the hypocrisy
The reason that Harvey Weinstein is who he is and did what he did is because he was making people lots of money.
Yes.
That's why no one ever.
And guaranteed, if it wasn't
raised an issue,
if somebody else took the fall and he was still unscathed somehow and like, in Hollywood, he would probably be producing movies that are like all like women power.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I just fucking hate trends. I hate them because I'm a contrarian by nature. And when they're this glaringly mis represented. I believe in the core group and the grassroots and all that stuff, but where it's going to go from there and the other people that are going to trumpet it, a lot of them are shitheads, and we all just got to slow down, all right?
Well, let me pose this to you. Think about this with an open mind. There will always be corporations, and there will always be tentpole movies, and there will always that will always occupy a percentage of our lives.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, there's a place for really simple movies because there's a lot of people that are not very bright, and or a lot of people that just like simple cheeseburgers. I just wish that they weren't so fucking big. You know what I mean? I wish they weren't so huge.
Rather than worry about that, think about this. Good or bad, there will always be that entity in our lives. That's just a fact of life. Isn't it? Aren't we in a nice era where at least in this window, as it pertains to superhero movies and movies in general, the giant corporations are at least putting out good content. Objectively, these movies are good movies. I mean, they're well made.
Well, yeah, but I'm not talking about Infinity War.
No, here. I'm talking about the whole.
You're talking about Ocean's 8?
No. I haven't seen it. So
I'm talking about this.
I'm talking
movie
about the whole Marvel.
Hey, we'll take
thing.
That exact. Like,
I'm about the whole Marvel universe. It's on the one hand, yes, there are annoying aspects to it. On the other hand, hey, we're lucky to live in an era where that is like, think about like, back in the 80s, we could have had some really,
there's always going to be
a dark time.
Yeah. Like I remember seeing with Hunger Games and I went and saw the first one.
That's a great example.
I gave up on it.
I
saw Hunger Games and I thought, we could be doing a lot worse.
When there was Twilight and things like that. When that was the biggest thing of the day.
And we had Star Wars growing up and it was a little bit unfair
because.
Yeah. So.
Your blockbusters were, Star Wars, Jaws and things like that.
And Raiders of the Lost Ark, but then they couldn't continue the quality, and then we started getting all sorts of horse shit for about, 15 years of just horrible blockbusters that were like the butt ends of jokes. Mm-hmm. All right.
Anyway, we're waxing. Would you say that I have to imagine 90%+ of our audience does not fall into this camp, but if people listening are talking to people at a party, or if you're talking to people at a party who aren't big moviegoers, haven't seen a lot of the Marvel movies, or haven't seen any Marvel movies, do they need to see the movies to enjoy this movie?
I think so, to an extent.
I would say, yeah, I made the analogy.
If I just cleared my mind of all the characters, because I knew very little about Iron Man or any of those people, characters, before they all started coming at me, right? And I still get them confused sometimes. Like, sure. Justice League, I wasn't trying to make a joke. I don't know who's in that.
No, you're right. I think you represent, honestly, most of America. No, I think the majority of people, not film goers, but like just people, the populace, wouldn't be able to tell you, Batman and Iron Man aren't in the same, world.
I probably just learned that a few years ago, honestly.
I think you're an average person in that respect.
But yeah, I think I would be very confused. I was already a bit confused with who's where and what's going on. I mean, it's not like Game of Thrones confusing, but it's definitely, there's a lot to keep track of. And but there's enough action that you don't really have to bother yourself with the details. And the quiet moments were actually really well executed, despite the fact that there was always a cartoon purple man named who was called Grimace by a nutsack chain. Mm. Well, am I saying too much?
No.
I might be saying
there's
too much.
There's, no, stop it.
But I had to remind myself, not only, it's twofold. Usually like when a big actor, like, we'll say Daniel Day-Lewis, there will be blood. Like, do you forget that it's Daniel Day-Lewis? Fuck yeah, you do.
Sure.
He becomes Daniel Plainview.
Well, that's his thing.
Twofold with Thanos. I had to forget that I was looking at a cartoon, and I had to forget that it was James Brolin.
Josh
Brolin. I had to forget those two things. And I found myself
forgetting. Was it hard for you to forget that it was Josh Brolin? Because it didn't look anything like him.
Yeah, it looked a little bit like him.
I guess in as much as they modeled.
And it sounded a lot like him.
Yeah, it was his voice.
Were you at Loveland when we had Josh on?
No.
Oh, he was the best.
Oh, really? It's just like a down-to-earth.
Bill's Emporium is not going to like this. But one of my favorite moments in all my years at Loveland.
This very obscure blog gets mentioned on our show with shocking regularity. Ironically, more than any celebrity.
Probably. Oh, that's true, right?
That's right.
The celebrities might be getting mad that we're talking about Bill.
Josh Brolin starts tweeting. Listen to the Film Vault. Can't get past these Bill movies at Borium.
We had Josh on years ago. I can't even remember who was co-hosting. Or I remember what studio. We were at the original studio or studios that you and I worked at. And he was on, and he came out with me on a couple different smoke breaks. And he was just the most down-to-earth guy. Like, you know, I'm a sucker if you use my name. And he's like, Anderson, how long you been here for? Like, he was asking questions about me, which is cool. And then he was talking about how he would not be able to come on this show like more than like maybe once every 3 months. He never came on it before or after that. But he's like, I couldn't do this show like every 3 months. I don't know how you and Drew and whoever the goes, how you guys hear these callers every night. It's just, it's mind blown. As we're just sitting there like sucking on cigarettes and talking like two guys. And it was before I really even had appreciation for him. Like I was excited because it was
probably fairly early in his career.
It was the guy from Flirting with Disaster was in there, right? You know, so.
Oh God, I forgot he was in that movie.
Yeah. So, but that's one of my, I really like him as an actor. And so that's that. And I had to remind myself a few times, like, oh yeah, that's Brolin. And it's cartoon Brolin.
Well, there's not much more we can say about this without any spoilers. So you want to save the rest for a little Patreon bonus?
Sure. Yes.
Hope we satiated your thirst for Avengers Infinity War talk. We will talk more about, including my, I believe they addressed my number one gripe with these movies. They definitely addressed it.
So. What? And you're going to have to talk about that in the page?
We're going to have to talk about it, I think.
What's going on with the buzz? Can the listeners hear that?
I hear nothing. Just me? I hear nothing.
Okay.
I hear nothing.
Really?
I just fixed it.
Oh. I still hear it loud.
Don't draw attention to the buzz.
Okay.
Pay no attention to the
I saw a movie. I saw a film in 1999, directed by a man named Pedro Almodovar.
Almodovar.
All About My Mother. I saw this week because it's been bothering me that I haven't seen it for a number of years now. Some of my favorite like little art house theaters that I go to, you know, like, you know, my favorite movies like framed on the walls, you know, those kind of like you go in the bathroom and you have like four, like one of my theaters I go to, the Chopper's like right by the urinal. So I'm always staring at Chopper when I'm peeing. Great.
It's good stuff.
And every time I see about All About My Mother or hear about it, I'm like, I need to see that freaking movie. And I'm like, what better time than now to watch it? Because it was coming up on all sorts of lists that I was, when I was doing my research, number one across the board. So All About My Mother, 1999 film.
Does it measure up?
Is a soap opera of dramatic proportions that would have been better served, in my opinion, as a miniseries or an ongoing series. Probably a miniseries with a finite ending. How long is it? No, it's not too bad. It's like an hour and 41 minutes. Mm-hmm. But there's so much going on. There's so much interweaving of story. And it's Spanish spoken. It takes place in Spain, I believe. I believe it's a Spanish film, not a Mexican film. It's Spain. Spain and France. But it opens up with a mother and her like teen son or 15-year-old son who's very heartfelt and thoughtful and artist, and they have a very close relationship. She's a single mom, and it's his birthday, and he's asking questions about his dad, and she's like, I don't want to tell you about your dad. I don't think you should ever know. And he's like, well, I think it's my birthday and I should be able to have whatever I want. And something tragic happens soon after that, and then we get to grieve with the mom for the next act. And then the last act, she meets Penelope Cruz, who's playing a nun, and she has a whole bunch of dramatic stuff going on with her, which you learn about. This is a tough movie to talk about without talking about major plot points. And
where did you see this, by the way?
My house.
So is it streaming? Working
Amazon for $5.
Okay.
And it's annoying where like I thought maybe I was missing something or just too dumb to follow because they kept referring to this one character who was responsible for all these different things, and then it turned out that character had not made his or her appearance yet, and that character comes into the fold very late in the movie, and then things get kind of wrapped up. But I'm sitting there going, what am I missing here? Because they keep referring, and it's a ballsy move writing wise to continue to talk about a character who's not even,
you have not seen,
never been introduced.
Sure, you're gonna
see. Yeah, and seems to touch all the lives of everyone present. What I did pick up on is maybe it's a cultural thing or maybe it's just the style of writing here, but strangers will meet one day and they will be lovey-dovey, not sexually, but like best of friends and kissing each other and making food for each other and just very welcoming. Maybe this is a thing that happens in Spain much more than over here.
Mm. Feels very European.
Maybe it's just the way that the story was written, which is an alternate universe type thing. But I like that. I wish there was more of that. Cecilia Roth stars in this as well as Marissa Paradis. Candela Peña.
Don't we got some sweet pronunciation coming up in the next next couple segments.
I think I'm pretty good with the names of the people that have been on the list. Yeah.
Okay, we'll find out.
But yeah, Penelope Cruz is who everyone will know from this movie. And this does not crack my top five. Might not crack my top 10 Spanish language films I've ever seen.
So you didn't like it, or you didn't like it that much?
I didn't dislike it. I just wasn't, you know, it's a lot of drama. And it's kind of like a chick flick at its core, I guess. It's so, good filmmaking, for sure. But I'm not a giant, you know, I like some Spanish and Mexican filmmakers, but Pedro Almodóvar, he's not one of my favorites. He's not. He's a little bit too goofy for me. He's too much like a clown. He's like a fucking clown. I don't like Revolver that much. Was that what it was called?
Revolver.
Did not enjoy that. Didn't really love Talk to Her.
I don't know if I've seen these films.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that it?
That's all I have to say about that. Mm. Yeah. Don't have a whole lot more
not
to say.
Not a ringing endorsement.
Oh, Bad Education was pretty good, though.
Coming up next, we will discuss the films that we love best that are spoken in Espanol.
I see.
Anderson, I think I heard you talk about this. You know the John Oliver book last week tonight, the book he came out with, Marlon Bundo?
The bunny, yeah.
Five people bought, or someone bought five copies, but five copies were purchased through our Amazon banner this last week.
That's very nice, and it's good for you too. Because
A Day in the Life of Marlon Bundo.
They were sold out at one point.
Oh, I guess they reissued
I like
them.
That book, and we actually have two copies because the mother-in-law got us a copy after we already got our own copy. However, like pretty much every character in the book is gay. It's like, find a happy medium.
Okay.
Like, they're going too far the other way.
Can we have one of your copies? I don't have a joke. Can I have one of your copies?
I know it's a joke, but it's about, you know, the bunnies being in love and they get to have a wedding. But like everyone in their wedding is gay too. It's like they went too hard.
I think that's part of the joke is that they went so strong the opposite way of what Spence would believe.
I already sent it back. That doesn't have to be that hard of a joke.
Other things purchased, you know, on the Amazon banner.
They could have done anal sex if they really wanted to go on.
Easy. On AndersonAndBrian.com include 13 inter-design wall-mounted curved bathroom shower curtain rods. Thanks if you're outfitting your hotel, B&B, perhaps apartment complex, or you just love shower curtain rods. Thank you. 10 Western Digital rods. Purple 3-terabyte surveillance hard disk drives. Thank you for your continued support. All new Kindle Oasis e-reader was purchased. LG ultra-wide IPS monitor with FreeSync. Casio Men's Master of GE Stainless Steel Solar Watch. Hitachi Finish Combo Kit includes a brad nailer and pancake compressor. Brother Super High Yield Toner, as well as a HP LaserJet Pro wireless laser printer. Turbo Smart Blow-Off Valve. Tiffin Digital Essentials Filter Kit. Ubiquiti Networks Outdoor Shielded Ethernet Cable. 3 Wolks Men's Merino Wool T-shirts. Wolex. Bosch 12-volt combo kit. Drill driver and impact driver. Ubiquiti Nano Station was purchased, as well as CC Wi-Fi Internet Radio. This is literally just a radio that picks up Wi-Fi. So enjoy. Portable adjustable aluminum laptop desk. That is an adjustable desk. You can stand, you can squat, you can sit low, whatever you want. Moonlight Slumber Comfort U Total Support Body Pillow. Christy still has hers from when she was pregnant. Upper East Collection Featherbed Mattress Topper. Jameson Full Size Thin Line Acoustic Electric Guitar. doTERRA Lifelong Vitality Pack. HP Pavilion LED HDMI VGA Monitor was purchased, as well as one more, triple driver in-ear headphones, and a Fire HD 8 tablet with Alexa. Thanks, guys, for all your support. How about the movies?
Hey, the movies are click through since the last time I saw it. Alice in Wonderland, 60th anniversary. I remember when it came out like it was just yesterday.
Do you?
Guardians of the Galaxy, as well as Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Volume 2, I should say. Misery, Collector's Edition. I didn't know there was a Collector's Edition. Dead Man.
I see that.
The Criterion. You see that Dead Man?
No. Jim Jarmusch.
Jim Jarmusch. And it's an endless...
Is that the Johnny Depp movie?
Endless succession of fades to black.
No, thanks.
Every single scene ends, or every shot almost, every scene ends with a fade to black, and I just...
Not interested.
Yeah, it's Johnny Depp. The Virgin Suicides, talk about tonal shifts and issues. That movie had some tonal issues.
Oh, what I haven't seen.
Saturday Night Fever.
It didn't seem fun.
It was supposed to be fun. Virgin Suicides was supposed to be. It was okay. I can't believe it has a Criterion Collection. I shouldn't say that. There's some moments. Saturday Night Fever, Summer Catch, Moana, Spider-Man Homecoming, Fuck to the Yes.
Is this Summer Catch's Criterion Collection?
Summer Catch is not. Okay. Coco was clicked through, as well as the 1517 to Paris. That's that Clint Eastwood experimental film from earlier this year.
You see that?
I did.
Yeah, you talked about it. He said the actors were very stiff.
Well, the action was stiff. The actual occurrence on the train is gold. Like, it was really well done. But that's about 8 minutes of the movie. The rest of the movie is just like you're on a...
Much like Sully.
You're on like a
the
European...
The actual crash was fantastic.
A European trip. Yeah, kind of like Sully. You're on a trip with these guys who are not actors, and it's just like them kind of being a little bit stiff or... It's not, I think they're actually decent at acting themselves, like being themselves, but they just don't have it, which is fine. Mm. Most people don't have it. That's why they're not...
That's why there's actors.
They just lacked charisma. And it was like, hey, let's go get some gelato. Okay, let's get some gelato. Hey, we'll take some gelato, please. Ooh, this gelato is really good. Like, that was a scene. Mm. That was a fucking scene, Brian. There's not enough time in the world to watch a movie like
that. Imagine being a critic and having to pretend like that's good.
I'm sure it happened. Actually, the thing was hammered. I think it was like...
Oh, really? No, yeah. Good. Well, they hate America.
Hey, well, thank you there very much. It was definitely worth checking out. So I'm glad that someone did. And thanks for clicking through. Always click through with especially for the movies. Appreciate it.
Indeed.
And it really helps the program.
Yes, we appreciate the continued support. That's
speaking
awesome.
Speaking of that program,
yes.
Back to the program.
Back to it. Oh, hey there. This is John Wayne. You're listening to the Film Vault on AndersonandBrian.com. Welcome back. Let's count down the top cinco, like that. Mm-hmm. Spanish films, Spanish language films, because some of these films are not Spanish in and of themselves. Some are directed by Americans.
That's right. Mm. Well, not for me.
Okay.
I have three Mexican filmmakers and two not.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get into it.
Actually, no. I have four. Four Mexican filmmakers. Look at that. I am pretty proud of myself.
Number five.
Go ahead.
You want to start?
What's the crossover, you think? I'm thinking two.
Oh, I might be over two. I say the crossover is at 2.5.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, I'll start.
There's at least two. I can't imagine my list. Two of these are on your list. I can't imagine.
Yeah, you're right. Damn it. I bet we have four. I bet we have four.
Four. All right,
whatever. You know what? These are solid films.
Okay, we'll talk about them and enjoy them that
and
much
I,
more.
You know, I think a number of our listeners have not seen three or four of them. So here we go. Number five for you.
Five for me is streaming on Netflix. You can watch it right now with your Netflix subscription.
It's nice.
It is Y Tu Mama También.
Y Tu Mama. Let's just do it.
Is it on your list?
It's my number five.
Oh, beautiful. Y Tu Mama
What if
También.
We had the exact same list?
From 2001, translates to And Your Mother Too, written and directed by Alfonso Cuarón, director of Gravity, Children of Men, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
The man is a very good director. He also did a Little Prince, I believe, Little Princess.
I think it was Princess.
Yeah, his first. That's a beautiful, beautiful movie. That if it was a Spanish language, I don't believe it was. It's a real. That's his first film. That's a great looking movie. That's a great looking movie.
Starring Maribel Verdú, Gael García Bernal,
and Diego Luna.
Diego Luna.
Diego Luna. I had never seen Gael García Bernal or Diego Luna before Y Tu Mama También. And I got to tell you, I've seen them plenty since, as everyone else has, and I still love these two guys.
This is a road trip movie. This is a movie about... So if you don't know Y Tu Mama También, these are two buddies who are... Have they just finished high school, or are they're in the transitional period of their lives?
Yeah, they're taking like a summer off, and they're kind of exploring. So
because their girls are going to Europe.
Brian was beginning to say, this is a road trip movie. It's a coming-of-age movie.
Their girls are going to Italy. It's
a socially sensitive tragedy with an omnipresent narrator, which I like that omnipresent narrator. I'm a sucker for that. Yeah. I know it's kind of cheating, and some critics give it shit.
It can be done, but we did top five movies with voiceover.
Yeah, yeah. And this is definitely one of those, and you know, it lets you know where you are in the story and what's going on. But
if you know what that means, it's the voice of God. It's like at one point the voice would say, and the two would never see each other again.
It's,
or what Michael didn't know is like he knows things that not all the characters know. It's the voice of God. It's the narrator. It's the writer. It's you know. It's all.
It's David Attenborough on Planet Life.
The author.
Planet Earth.
Well done. Yes. Well done.
There you go.
Yes, these two guys, their girlfriends leave for a trip to Italy, and they decide to have an adventure themselves. They run into Maribel Verdú, and they end up having a very odd road trip where they travel across.
Open.
What's that?
Young and open road trip.
Well, she's older. Remember, she's an older woman who has just found out that she's being cheated on by her husband.
She's still pretty young, though.
I mean, right, but I mean, she's not their age.
Yeah, she's not their
age. I shouldn't say older woman. Although it's funny, at one point, fun little fact, there's a Harold and Maude poster on one of the characters' walls, a nice little nod to the May-December romance that in both movies.
Mm. Oh, yeah, look at that. I'm so set in my ways, I'd probably just be like, hey, he must be a big fan.
Must love good movies.
The director must be a big fan, yeah.
So, yes, she being the main character, opens up the world to them, and they show her a few things, and it's an odd coupling, as you can imagine, with them two being the young sort of scrappy guys that they are, and she being a world weary woman. You find out a very it's a bleak ending. You find out some very, you know, very sad information and by the end of the film.
It's a really well done ending too, not just with, you know, I don't want to spoil anything obviously here, and I don't want to say, but all three of the characters come to a different
conclusion,
and it's. You know, one is very easy to point to, which is the ultimate, but the other two were almost equally as tragic or honest in how that ends as well. And it's, I think with such a bleak ending, but it being honest and kind of stirring and awakening, it really sticks the landing for me, as my buddy Greg would say.
It's also, you know what it is? It's a coming-of-age movie.
I said that.
Oh, did you? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you say that.
Yeah, that was the part where you were totally checked out. When I was saying out. Road trip, coming of age, social sensitivity, you were trying to speak.
I was trying to get something in. Speaking of the omniscient narrator being sort of cheating, this was Oscar-nominated for Best Original Screenplay in 2001. Also, the LA Film Critics declared the number 9 film of the decade, not the year, decade. I thought that was a bit audacious, but
especially considering
here we are.
Well, it's 2001.
Yeah, 2001.
So the decade had just begun. See what
it was probably
there?
Towards the end of the decade. It was probably towards the end.
No, I think they were suggesting like so far this decade.
So of the films that
it's like
come out
a movie that comes out January 5th. It's the best movie of the year.
In the last 22 months, these are the 10 best films.
That's what they were saying.
Okay.
Because when you say decade, right? Decades go by the aughts, the O's.
True. I'm thinking that they probably named it that at the end of the decade, but you know what? You're probably right.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
In retrospect, on the list. This
perhaps.
Was the number 9 film.
It is a really good movie, and we cite it often on this show.
True.
We don't.
It actually doesn't come up that much.
It doesn't come up on lists, but I like to say "Y tu mamá también," and I say it quite
Diego Luna.
Number 4 for you.
For me, I doubt this is on your list. As I like this movie. I made the what?
No, I know what it is.
Oh,
I think.
I don't think you do.
All right.
Now I'm curious what you think of it.
I think it's the Vanilla Sky original.
Abres los ojos. Abres los ojos.
No.
Number 4, Abres los ojos. Open your eyes from 1997. I made the mistake of seeing this after Vanilla Sky and still think Vanilla Sky is a better movie, but this is a very good movie written and directed by Alejandro Amenábar, director of The Others. Should I see The Others?
You haven't seen The Others? No. Really?
No.
You can't handle The Others.
I can't. Why?
Because like, the twist would just be too much for you, and you'd have to talk about it.
I don't want
to. It's like one of the ultimate twists.
Starring Eduardo Noriega and Penelope Cruz. Yes, in Spanish.
You've never seen The Others.
And so what?
That's kind of funny.
My problem, not problem, but the reason I prefer Vanilla Sky, the remake, this was remade as Vanilla Sky with Cameron Crowe and Tom Cruise. I prefer the remake because it has so many more layers than this movie, but this is obviously a much more original film, given that it was the original film, and still packs, even though I knew all the twists that were coming, even though I knew all the surprises and reveals, still very effective. Very effective. And good news, everyone. This is streaming on Stars. And if you have Stars, you can watch on Amazon. So if you have any one of those.
Does anyone have Stars?
I imagine if you have part
Stars
of your cable
such
package.
It really is. The redheaded stepchild.
I have Stars.
Do you?
That's because it's I always buy the movie package that has them all.
All of them. Look at Mr. Moneybag.
Well, I don't buy the other channels, though.
Movie channels.
Number 4 for me. This is a Mexican film. Came out in 2000.
Abres los ojos.
Directed by Alejandro Iñárritu. I know that name. I know how to
Treasure
say it.
Treasure of the Revenant.
Yes, that's right. Amores Perros.
He directed Birdman,
Love
too.
Dogs.
Right?
He did. 2000. This is a film that came out in 2000, Amores Perros. It took me a while to see this movie. Much like I talk about all about my mother. Being in theaters and independent
posters,
art houses. Theaters, yes, I've seen Amores Perros in these little art house theaters in frames on the walls, and it always gave me guilt and shame that I'd not seen it. I saw it since we've been doing the show. I remember confessing it a while ago, and this is a really good movie.
I saw it for the first time recently.
What'd you think?
I liked it a lot.
It's a long fucking movie. It's 2 hours. I wrote it down.
I think it was right after you introduced me to Taste, that web app.
Yeah?
It was recommending me all these like artsy foreign films, and I was just going off the top of the recommendations.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, Taste.io, which is still in its beta form.
I found another app, too.
A listener. No, this is our listeners. This is our friend.
But I did sign up for a membership for that one, so I paid the $10 for the year.
Okay.
But movie grade is you grade it A, B, C,
see,
D,
that's
or F.
One of those things I was talking about on the Patreon, yeah. Which I'm upset because they probably stole the idea.
It's not an original idea.
All right. So
Netflix used to do it.
Amores Perros. It's 154 minutes. It's long.
Ooh, I'm out.
It's long and it's Spanish. So this is double homework.
It's the same length as the Avengers.
What promise did I make earlier? Every movie that's on my list, it's almost the exact same length as the Avengers. Every movie on my list, I can just about guarantee that if you're listening to this, it might seem like homework, but it won't feel like homework as you watch it. Okay. And there's something, and I was hoping to talk to you about this with Treasure of Sierra Madre, but you have not seen it. But the feeling of like accomplishment almost, or it's not accomplishment. There's something, it's almost like a groove or a rhythm when you start watching something that's really old or foreign language.
I agree. Yeah, yes.
And you get into it and you're exactly. sucked in. It's this great feeling. It's like, it's I don't know.
No, you're hearing the rhythm.
It's not like you're proud of yourself, but you're just like, you're happy to be alive in a world that has such culture. You know what I mean? It's that kind of feeling.
I know what you're saying.
So Amores Perros.
I'm looking to see if Amores Perros is.
It's the longest one on my list, and this is the first of Alejandro.
Cheap rental.
Alejandro Iñárritu's Death Trilogy, followed by 21 Grams and Babel. Both films that I saw, both films that I dislike. Immensely. I Good really Lord. Dislike those movies. They have very little value. They just are bummer They're fest.
Not
Babel's
fun.
Babel's not nearly as bad as 21 Grams. 21 Grams is just like it's
not fun.
It's an exercise of attrition with your mental state. I do not enjoy or understand why anyone would spend time doing that. Like, I'm in the midst of finishing my little tiny movie, and you got to stare at it and think about it and go over it again and again and again. And mine's goofy and funny.
Who wants to live with 21 grams that long?
I don't understand how you do that. I mean, that's a testament to your art, I guess. This was up for Best Foreign Language film. It was nominated. And it's the number 208 film on the IMDb all-time list. I said this at the time when I saw Amores Perros. This is like a Mexican Pulp Fiction, and it's definitely influenced by Pulp Fiction. Would you agree with that, Logan, seeing it more recently than I? It's three separate stories that all are overlap due to a car accident, and these three separate stories end up intertwining, much like
Crash?
Crash to an extent, but like something like some of the earlier – I'm drawing a fucking blank.
It's more of a subtle
Altman. Robert Altman movie.
It's more of a subtle intersection. Like that car crash isn't a significant.
That's what draws them all. What brings them all together. And there's dog now. And now here's a warning that I have. These aren't going to feel like homework. They are very good films. If you're a dog lover like I am, or an animal lover, a pet lover, the dogs don't actually get hurt, but they will have you believe that they are not doing so well. There's dog fighting rings and. And shots fired.
This is a really tragic dog scene.
Yeah, and you're a dog person, and it's
fortunately
it's
I had my dog next to me the entire time, so it was okay.
Pet, is it better or worse?
I think it was better.
But I mean, that's right in the title. Like, love dogs, right? Amores Perros. So it took me too long to watch this movie, and I was ashamed of myself once I started watching. I'm like, how have I not seen this? This is a really fun one, and it's Iñárritu's. It's one of his top three works that I've seen because a lot of his stuff is a slog, but not number four for me.
Amores Perros. Number three for me. So my top, my number five, my number four, I like. They're good movies. Number three, two, and one, very good movies. I like them quite a bit. Quite a bit more. Quite a leap from four to three for me.
Oh, Y Tu Mama is great.
I like it. There's quite a leap from Y Tu Mama to Sin Nombre.
Sin Nombre.
Sin Nombre, sweet.
Motherfuck.
Is it on your list?
It's a little higher on my list.
Oh, man. Should I switch?
Yeah, you should. No, don't.
Sin Nombre. We'll talk about a little more of Anderson gets there, but 2009, directed by Cary Fukunaga.
Fukunaga!
Who is half Japanese and half Swedish. The title translates to Nameless, and it is about the MS-13
no name.
Gang. I saw Nameless, all the right. Without name, no name, yes, Nameless. Mara Salvatrucha. The main character, Willie, El Casper. Casper. He kills the gangs. Well, should I get into what
don't
happens?
Even get into it. This movie, fuck it, I'll just switch it. This is my number two, but I'll do it with you right now. Do you remember the story of how this one came about to me?
How the film came?
Yeah.
No.
It's a fun little happenstance story.
No.
I am a crazy person. It's a really good movie. I'm a crazy person, and a lot of the time I will spend, you know, 10 minutes in the aisle trying to figure out which eggs to buy or pickles.
Sure.
You know, I spend a lot of time in the market now.
Scouting.
With the boy.
Yeah,
yeah, trying to, you know, my smallest of details, ridiculous things. When I go into like an electronics store and I'm buying like a new surround sound system, it's fucking amplified.
There'll be testing.
So I bring one home and I don't like it, or something doesn't work. So I go back and I talk myself out of spending that much money. So I get another one. And if I recall, there's a third one that I went in and I got open box. I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to get a cheap version, but it's open box. Somebody already had it. And I open it up and I start setting it up. And you know, somebody there's a Netflix disc in there in the box, because it's open box. Somebody had already taken it home and then returned it. So I was using that disc to test it, and there was no fucking sound because that too was broken. So I was furious. So I kept the disc. I'm like, at least I'm getting a disc out of this, you motherfuckers. This is like 7-8 years ago. And I take the box back, but while I was testing it, I put Sinombre in. I'd never heard of it before. I think it was like
I knew literally nothing about it.
And the sound wasn't working, but I was just looking at the picture. And if you remember that opening shot with the wallpaper of the fall leaves.
Yeah.
And then the door opens. And I was like, what? This is actually kind of interesting, right? Because it was on for probably like the first 10 minutes with no sound as I was testing and trying to set it up. So I ended up, long story short, I ended up watching this movie. I never heard of Fukunaga because he had never made anything. And I never heard of the movie. And
God, I forgot about that.
Smitten. I was like, holy shit.
What a bizarre happenstance.
I know. What are the chances in that?
Did you assign this to me? You must have.
Then I must have assigned it to you. And then he ended up, you know, going on to make other big things. Most notably, probably, is True Detective. Has he made anything bigger since then? I think True Detective is probably what most everyone...
Beasts of No Nation?
That wasn't him. That was
Idris Elba movie?
That was... Oh, yeah, it was. I was thinking of...
Beast of Southern Wild?
Beast of Southern Wild.
No, what's the one?
Beast of No Nation.
Beast of No Nation. Yeah.
Which kind of... I don't know. I think
it was a great performance. A great performance.
Might have had a different effect if I saw it on the big screen, too, that Beast of No Nation. Anyways, Fukunaga, a very promising career ahead of him. I love the fact that I caught it there. So you're going to see things in this movie, Sinombre, that are simple, yet never been seen or done before. And I'm talking about what happens on top of the train and the scenario that occurs.
It's pretty great.
And how it plays out. And I love that kind of shit, Brian.
It's
simple mechanism.
It's a trope bordering on a cliche. The whole story is the guy wants the lifelong gang member wants out of the gang. That's just a trope that exists, but it's done so well.
And there's things that are set up here where like, you know, large groups of people have to deal with a threat for long periods of time in a precarious situation. And it's just the way that it's handled. It was obviously, he was a cinematographer before he directed this, so he's got an eye. And there's scary moments. There's heartfelt performances.
Tension.
There's tension. And it's just laid out in a really great way. Sinombre, one of the best movies ever.
Best director for Cary Fukunaga at Sundance. Executive produced by... Diego Luna. Gael Garcia Bernal.
So it's really actually technically Y Tu Mamá También, Volume 2.
Very different.
También.
También.
Well done.
Y 3, también.
Y 2.
Y 2?
Y 3.
Y 3. You see, because it's a sequel?
Tres would be the word.
Ah, fuck yourself. Y 2.
Don't know what it means? Look it up. Coming up next.
And your papa, too.
Coming up next.
Oh, y tu mamá también.
Y tu papá.
Y papá.
And your father, too. Very different meaning. Coming up next, we'll talk about our top two Spanish language film. Sponsors this week, you guys, but a reminder that we have t-shirts.
We bought time on our own show.
That's right. We actually, this spot brought to you by the Film Vault.
Get your shirts here, Film Vault shirts.
New
shirts
Film
here.
Vault shirts in stock. And yes, they're beautiful, they're black, and they are new. First new shirt in quite some time.
They're black and white. It's just a simple black and white design. Mm. It looks really good. Logan did a fantastic job of doing exactly what we had requested and doing the outline of the Film Vault there. It just looks like it looks modern, and they're going to be very comfortable shirts. I picked them
simple,
out myself.
Simple, clean, straightforward.
And I still get... emails about my Cold Cockle shirts and Grouper shirts all the time. People say that they wash them first because they're so comfortable. I want to make sure that if you're putting something on that has something to do with myself that it's going to be comfortable and you're not going to like go, oh, I don't want to wear
the
that.
The Cole Klockel shirt is very comfortable. I still wear it.
It's going to be very similar to that shirt. So,
nice.
You can get those over at AndersonandBryan.com. They cost $25. That's shipping included unless you live outside the U.S. I will be sending them out myself.
Yes, you will. You bit off quite a bit there, buddy.
I know. I don't know why I did that. And they're $20. You get a $5 discount if you are a Patreon.
True.
Subscriber.
The cost of a monthly Patreon is it will just go straight to the T-shirt. $5 off.
So go ahead. It's also going to be limited. I think that we're only going to – we initially said 2-week run of pre-sales. We're going to do 3-week run of pre-sales because you're not going to like this, Brian, but I got a number of emails saying that they are behind or they do find themselves behind quite a bit, and they would hate the idea of not having time or not listening to the show and finding out about the T-shirt after – the fact and not being able to buy one.
Okay.
So for the sake of that, for some people that are behind, I get behind on shows. I know how it is. We're giving an extra week. And then once that it's done, sales are done.
Yeah, but we're pretty much halfway in or 2/3 in. So yeah. Get your order in. Probably one more week left. So thank you guys for support.
What is the date now that they have to order by? We should say that.
I don't know. Why don't you just do it now?
What was the cutoff? Well, yeah, they should do it now, but...
I don't know the cutoff.
All right.
Just do it now.
We'll tweet the cutoff. The cutoff... And go to AndersonandBryan.com. You'll see it there.
Enjoy. We need every break we can get. Kojak is... I like where I live. Welcome back.
Bip.
And we'll talk about our number two right now. So now... These have got to be your the two remaining films you have left. They're my two remaining films. I'd be shocked if they weren't on your list.
Yeah. What does that mean? That we'd be 4 or 5?
Panty.
Son of a bitch.
Pans. Pan's Labyrinth. Spanish language film,
that's
2006.
Number two? What?
Oh, I know. I like my
How
number
is
one
your
better.
Number two?
I like my number one better. I like this movie a lot, but number one is better.
That's shocking. If I might not know what your number one is. Do I not know?
You may have forgotten about this movie.
I doubt it. Do I forget about movies?
Well, then how could you not guess my number one?
Maybe I did. All right, let's
number,
get Pan's
number two,
Labyrinth.
Pan's Labyrinth, 2006, written and directed by Guillermo del Toro. Not enough transforming robots for my taste, but still a decent movie.
Pan's Labyrinth gets a little bit too much love on this show. I shouldn't say too much, but it gets a lot.
We
of
talk
love.
About it a lot.
It comes up a bit, quite a bit, but it's because it's deserved.
It's a very good movie. It's nominated for 6 Oscars, which is crazy for a foreign language
film.
It
won 3 of 6, too.
And 1-3, art direction, cinematography, and makeup. The highest rated film of the 2000s, according to Metacritic.
And it's 129 all time, according to IMDb critics.
So maybe we don't talk about it enough.
Yeah, it's just so fucking original. It's so well played out. And as listener and emailer Rico tells me, Rico is a Mexican descent, I believe. I believe you're Mexican descent, Rico. Anyways, he let me know that one of the beautiful things about Pan's Labyrinth is all of the players involved spoke, like that was their mother tongue. And there's nothing worse, he says, as you might imagine, seeing a movie where they're speaking Spanish, but they're not really Mexican or Spanish actors. And it's like they just came out
they're
of like
doing
a Spanish,
some kind
like their
of,
third
yeah, yeah. They're,
semester
they're reciting,
of Spanish.
They're reciting
yeah.
Spanish.
And he says that this is like old like English-style poetry almost. Like the wow. way that they're, it's like old world Spanish.
It takes place in the 1940s.
Beautiful.
Well, towards the end of World War II, I should say.
Yeah, it's what Franco's...
Generalissimo Francisco
yes,
Franco.
Yes. And it's horrific, and because we talk about this movie so often, you know, I find myself repeating myself, but it's horrific on both sides of the equation. Like, this little girl is dealing in Franco's land, which is very oppressive yep. and filled with war
there
and
are,
death.
There are horrible
and,
things happening to men
and, like,
in
her
war.
Stepfather is just a brute of a man and very horrifying. These shots that Guillermo del Toro comes up with this cinematographer are beautiful. I mean, it's a really well shot movie. When you explain these things, sometimes they sound ugly and like homework, like we said. But if you've not seen Pan's Labyrinth, like even the horrificness of her reality is a beautiful sight to see because of the way it's shot. So what she does is she escapes into this escapism fantasy world,
right.
which is way more horrifying than her reality, and they're
it's
both.
A reflection of course what she's doing and living in her real life,
but it's a labyrinth version of it, and it's fantastic. It's just a fucking great movie.
It's funny. I feel like there's a large percentage of movie going population who has seen Shape of Water but has not seen Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah.
And they think Shape of Water is this amazing world that he built. And it, I guess it is to an extent, but there's no comparison.
Just look at it. That's one of the reasons why I don't love Shape of Water.
I don't think he built an amazing world in that movie, though. He just kind of built a good scenario.
In what?
In Shape of Water.
I mean, I think
The production design. Peak too.
I mean, the world they live in, like, because it's, you know, it's just
the literal like sets and set design and stuff. And then the man has an eye for detail. He's a sketch artist. He just did the same space that Kubrick had his thing at the LACMA, the Los Angeles County Museum of Art. He had his own thing where I think I saw it. I think I was there. Anyways,
it feels like a dream.
Mm. Yeah, but you already said what a best achievement in cinematography, best achievement in art direction, best achievement in makeup. The fact that he wasn't up for best director is just absurd. If he came out with this now, like, this movie might win best picture. If Pan's Labyrinth comes out this year, it might be, even though he's considered a white man, so maybe not.
Ooh, he's Mexican.
But I think he's considered white.
Because he's pale? Because he's a pale Mexican.
They gave him
Mexican.
A bunch of
No, he's a brown man.
No, I guess they were just giving him shit about being a man at the Golden Globes this year.
But he's a brown man.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't like technically look very brown.
Right, he's a light-skinned brown man.
All right, that's your number two?
Two.
All right, well, that's my number one, so.
Well, what's your number two?
My number three, because that's already
three.
Been. This is what the problem when we have crossover. Number three for me is Wild Tales.
Wild Tales, my number one.
It's your number one?
I love this movie.
You said you liked it, but you said it was a very Anderson movie, and you were kind of like, and then you assigned it to me.
I think what I said was, I love this, and I think Anderson's going to like it more than
this. Is my number three. Wow. It's my third favorite Spanish language film. It's
if
an
I recall correctly,
Argentinian-Spanish film from Spain and Argentina.
When we did our anniversary episode, Film Vault, we named the top five films we've been assigned. I believe this is the number one film I'd assigned you.
Damien Zizfron writes and directs. He had a helper write on my guess.
I think it's Zifron.
Zifron. That's what I said. This is the 183rd best film all time on IMDb's
Guys,
top 250 list.
Wild Tales is sweet. If you haven't seen it, you got to check it out.
Best foreign language nomination for the Academy Awards that year. It came out in 2014.
You know what I learned today? The title actually translates to Savage Tales, which is a much better title. Much better title.
I don't know about that. You know what? They might have not, because Savages came out that year too. I can see how maybe that's why they won awards.
That's a good point. Oh, too bad. You know what the tagline was? Huh. Discover your savage side.
Which makes it okay.
Because it's six tales of revenge, right? So Savage would have been better than Wild.
The reason why it's number three on my list is because the last one with the wedding, it seemed to go on a little
bit. Is it
too
the
long.
Last one?
That's the last one. Hmm. And it kind of, it didn't have a strong ending, but some of the, so it's an anthology. There's a bunch of different stories, six different tales, and the theme is always just the animalistic side of human nature.
A revenge.
And it opens up the
vis-a-vis revenge.
The opening title sequence is gorgeous.
So good.
It's just nothing but predatory animals shot beautifully.
I thought you were talking about the scene on the plane.
No, I'm talking about the actual title sequence, which
gotcha.
Is, you know, they show like lions and
attacking,
pumas and
gazelles.
And there's not even that much of attacking. It's just kind of show. I think there is some attacking, but it's showing like, you know, the wild, because we forget that we're fucking animals, you know, and we're capable of doing very horrific things to one another and animals. And that's what this movie's all about. The car sequence, I think, the car chase scene is probably what I remember most. The car.
Yeah, so story number one is the airplane. Story number two is the diner, which was actually kind of not one of the best ones.
Bit of a
then line, the story number three was the drivers.
So good. Three,
then number
the
four was the towed
great.
Car. That was fantastic.
The what?
The towed car. The guy got a car towed and he went to like the DMV and he became like a folk hero.
Yes.
Number five, the car accident. With negotiating the settlement of the car accident and the wedding, a little slapsticky, you're right, but very good. Very good.
It shows the full range of love, I guess. The full range of love
true.
In one evening that involves a newlywed or a married, a couple getting married.
God, the airplane scene was just so.
The airplane starts
so
off with
brief.
A fucking bang.
I would say it throws the gauntlet down quite heartily. This is the kind of movie this is going to be.
Debating this
movie. And then
movie
the final shot of that scene. Oh, so good.
The freeze frame.
Sure,
the freeze frame works. How often does the freeze frame work?
Rare,
not very often,
rarely.
But it worked well here.
Look, have you seen Wild Tales? You would like this movie a lot.
I haven't seen it yet.
What's the matter with
it's you? Actually really close to the top of my queue.
Yeah? Because of Taste.io?
Yeah.
Taste.io is probably saying you got to watch Wild Tales.
Wild Tales.
This and Patty Cakes remain two of my biggest regrets that Brian is the one who saw them before me. It's very upsetting.
Thanks.
If I had the gauntlet glove, I would snap my fingers and
the
go back.
The Infinity Stones. Yeah.
Yes, I would fix that. Fuck, you know, getting rid of all the people, I would just fix those two errors.
Just those two errors.
I would watch those movies.
And then if I had a third wish, I'd, oh no, it's all spoiler time.
Yeah, we got to mark that.
You got to mark that. Cut it out. You know, can you just beep it out and then leave the, oh no.
That's the problem. It's almost like doing like a clean show and a cuss show. It's like a spoiler show and a non-spoiler show. It's like you forget.
Yeah, once you start spoiling.
The lines are blurred.
Once you start spoiling, it's on.
All right, so 5-1 real quick, just to recap, because I really am strong. I'm bullish on all these movies. For me, 5 was Y Tu Mamá También.
Let's just say the one film we didn't have in common.
Number 4 was Amores Perros.
For me, it's Abres Los Ojos.
And then we both had Wild Tales, Sin Nombre, and Pan's Labyrinth.
In some order. I had the right order, but we both had different orders.
Pan's Labby. You know why I call it Pan's Labby? Because I still have the ticket stub, because I keep my ticket stubs.
Oh, that's right.
And they shortened it. So
Pan's Labia.
And I went to see like 3 or 4 times in the theater, so I had a bunch of those ticket stubs just laying around Pan's my place. Labby. Pans.
Want to hear how the listeners stacked up?
Let's
here?
Do it.
Top really, 5? Don't really care.
There's some good crossover here, too.
Oh, boy.
Number 5.
Let's see.
Wild Tales.
Number 5.
I'm not familiar with
number that. 4. Here's a little different one. El Mariachi.
Oh, good. You know,
that's on my also ran. That's just missed the list.
As it is on mine.
Number 3, Y Tu Mamá También.
Y Tu Mamá.
Number 2 is Sin Nombre.
What is this?
And the number 1 Spanish language film far and away is Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh.
I need to see that. I've been meaning to see that for a while now.
I almost got clever and put Apocalypto on there. It is Yucatec Mayan, but that's like saying a Shakespearean movie isn't English. Like, it's English. It's old English, but it's still English. So could have put Apocalypto, but I think I like Y Tu Mamá También better. In fact, I know I like Y Tu Mamá También
better. El Mariachi is at the top of it. It's like my number 6. I almost made it number a tie there. With I also got Skin I Live In, the Almodóvar. Mm-hmm. Which I saw not too long ago, and it's just an odd story. Mm. That man's got an odd sensibility about. He's obsessed with gender. Really is obsessed. Mm. He should be really cashing in right about now.
I was going to say, it's his time.
I also got Wreck, the original Wreck, which is a fantastic little horror film. Wreck. Oh, REC, Brian. Just REC.
Oh, like Record.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
No! No is on my list as well. Time Crimes. Fucking great movie. I think of it more as like a time travel movie, unless it's a Spanish-speaking film, but it's definitely a Spanish-speaking film. Devil's Backbone, which is Guillermo del Toro's earlier work. And then I wasn't confident enough to have it on my list because the 5 movies I have on my list are so strong, and I can abide by them. But Luis Buñuel, he's definitely a maverick, making movies and pushing the envelope when movies were still in their infant stage. He's definitely worth looking into if you consider yourself a cinephile, or you'd like to be one, or you're just interested in like some of the forefathers of the cinematic universe. Luis Buñuel, he's done some amazing stuff, and then he did a bunch of movies with Dalí. And
Salvador Dalí?
Salvador Dalí, and he was really going, okay, so we can show these moving pictures to audiences? Let's fuck with them. And, he was doing horrific imagery back in the 30s.
He's manipulating audiences.
Yes. Luis Buñuel is definitely worth checking out.
Would have loved to have talked about City God, but that is Portuguese.
Yeah, you can't go Brazilian films because they speak Portuguese.
There's a couple of
funny quick story before we wrap up here. My very good friend, you know how you're talking about, was it on this show or the Patreon? Talking about my friends who are too smart for their own good.
I forget. Let's just talk about it. Yeah.
I think
it was on this
show. My one friend who's smart enough for his own good, and he actually did okay. He's a lawyer. And Derek, he lived in Seattle. Now he lives out here in Malibu with his own law firm. And he had a cleaning crew that when he lived in Seattle, and he loved speaking Spanish to him because he took a bunch of Spanish when he was in high school and college. And after about probably 2 years of speaking Spanish, and he thought it was really weird because he thought his Spanish was good, but they couldn't understand him. And he's like, I must be rusty and whatnot. He found out that they're from Brazil and they were speaking
Portuguese.
Yeah, they speak Portuguese.
So was it similar enough? They could probably know what he's saying.
He's like, why didn't you tell me? He's like, and they're like, well, we know you like to speak Spanish and we were just trying to accommodate you.
Well,
and
that's funny.
And he was like, I had no idea. I thought so it wasn't even there. It is weird that of all of South America, you got Brazil.
I know. There's some other countries that speak Portuguese.
No, just Brazil.
Oh, really?
Just Brazil.
I didn't know that. Logan, let's gamble and get the fuck out of here.
Yep. All right. Last week, he gambled on Avengers. At the time, the Rotten Tomato score was 86%. Anderson bid 91 and Brian 90.
Oh, feeling good.
The week after its release, the Rotten Tomatoes score for Avengers has gone down by 2 points to 84%.
I'm surprised by this. I would think critics would.
I agree. I thought it'd be in the high 90s. Honestly,
I mean, it's got its shortcomings, but it's shortcomings you would expect, and the shortcomings of this one
This is rated lower than the other Avengers movies, and in my opinion, is Light Year is better. Mm-hmm.
I don't know about Light Years. Let's not get it crazy, but it's better.
It's significantly. Right? You know, Light Years is over exaggerating, but it is significantly better.
Even my fiance, who usually doesn't like these movies, she just goes and falls asleep during them when we go see them. Even she was like, I really like that one. Like, I could follow the story.
Yeah, she got to take a break from fucking wedding planning. Anything seems that's exciting true. Instead of wedding
true.
Planning.
That's true.
All right, let's get out of here.
Oh, the streak is broken. Fantastic. Anderson, I'm going to sign you a film that I think you'll like, a film that I like.
Amoros Perros.
Like you've seen that. And a film that you can very easily watch at home. Got to see Andre the Giant documentary on HBO.
Is it two-parter?
No, one part, 90 minutes actually, and they could have gotten away with more.
Thank
honestly.
You for that, sir. I 90 appreciate minute documentary. That, especially right now, I could really use something quick and easy.
Enjoy. Andre the Giant.
All right, cool.
All right, this week you're going to be gambling on Tully.
No, oh, the new Jason Reitman film.
Charlize Theron, yeah.
Reuniting Jason Reitman and Diablo Cody. Reuniting Jason Reitman and Charlize Theron from the disastrous young adult.
Was that disastrous?
No, it just wasn't very good.
Oh, wait. I think, that's the one, right? That he tried to get all serious and it got horrible reviews?
It didn't get good reviews and it wasn't very good.
Wait, young adults?
Young adults were when she was the author. Like, she's an alcoholic. And
didn't he make another one?
The posters look very similar, actually. Didn't he make another one? It's like kind of a hot mess.
I don't know.
He made another one, what? Another
like dramatic movie that was panned?
He made a lot of dramatic movies. Up in the Air dramatic.
No, never mind. It doesn't matter. Okay. Hey, young adult? No. What? Can you list his movies for me real quick, Lux? Because it's going to bug me. Because I know he started off with Juno, which was one of the greatest movies of all time. Mm-hmm. I've been bowing at his altar ever since. And then he moved on to...
No, his first was Thank You for Smoking,
Labor Day.
Oh, yeah, Thank You for Smoking.
Labor Day.
Oh, Labor Day.
No, it's not the one I'm thinking of.
Not?
No.
That was a disaster.
Go ahead.
Let's see. He's got Casual. No, that's a TV show. No. Men, Women, and Children.
Yes, that's the one. That one was like fucking brutalized. And he was trying to make something really serious poignant. And
I love that.
That's the one.
Okay. If this was made 5 years ago, I'm like, this is going to be in the mid to high 90s. But now I don't know where this is going.
What are you doing then?
What?
What's your fucking number?
Easy, buddy.
The anger mounts.
All right, what's yours?
Evgeny Malkin. Gino, 71.
71?
Ah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What is the number?
Son all right, bitch.
If it's 71, the show ends. It's like Thanos. It's like Thanos with the Infinity Stones.
All right. With 54 reviews, the Rotten Tomatoes score the week before its release for Tully is 93%.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, because they're back together again. Have they been together since
him and Diablo Cody?
Yeah,
not since Young Adult, right?
No, I don't think she was Young Adult. Was
I think not since Juno, right? I don't know what the fuck do I know. Hey, if you know what, if it was 71, and if it or if it does somehow
Young
land
Adult, Diablo Cody, right?
Not important. Huh. I'm so excited because we were both wrong.
Logan, you ever send the show notes?
We just come back and we just rename the show, right? Like the Wilmot or something.
We'll come up with another version.
That's what KMFDM
did. Phase two.
KMFDM got blamed or scapegoated for the Columbine shooting.
Okay.
So they came out and publicly said we are so ashamed to be thumbed for this and to be a part of. We are disbanding as a group. I think the very next. Like next month, they came out with an album and they just called themselves MDFK or something.
They just changed the letters around. That's good. I like that.
Okay, MFDM. Kill motherfucking Depeche Mode. It's not what it means, but that's what people say.
Logan, you can just do it if you have to.
Just sent it, but I can do it.
Yeah. Well, hold on.
Let's get out of here.
Who's our listener art from?
I'm supposed to be somewhere in 2 minutes.
Our old friend,
far away.
Jorgen P.
Jorgen, let me check out the listener art this week. Thanks, Jorgen, for sending it.
Oh, also, it was pointed out to me, I believe, on Twitter that last week's listener art was me sitting in an empty theater, remember? Next to somebody who couldn't figure out who it was.
Wait, we've seen that one before, haven't we? No. Or did they get in about our Facebook page or something?
I don't know. To be honest, we're running low on artwork, so please send more in. I had to dig through our inbox.
I never realized
look for ones I may have missed.
Rhymes with
I
Looper.
I feel like I've seen that one.
If we did, then possibly. But
that was Matthew Bright that I was sitting next to at the Groupers premiere in the listener art from last week. Because remember, if you recall, I sat next to him at TIFF 15, 18 years ago for the premiere of Freeway 2.
Right.
And it was very uncomfortable me sitting next to
him. We definitely haven't seen this one yet. We have seen a Looper take, but I've never noticed this one where Brian has hair in the...
I've seen the younger picture of Brian, the young picture of Brian with the hair.
In the inside, I'm the Bruce Willis version with no hair.
All right, let's rock it.
Well done, Jorgen P. Well done. Good little touch. Thanks to him for the preacher art. If you want to check it out, andersonandbrian.com, go there. You can do all sorts of things, including checking out our featured artists, such as Aurora, Annie Corbett, The Crash Kit, The Heatheners, Kojak, and Youth Culture. Thanks, guys. Subscribe on Patreon. This month, what's that?
No, that's wrong. The Patreon. We know what it is, though. It's characters
you want to see fight each other. Very inspired list. Top five characters you want to see fight each other is the top five on Patreon this week. And as well as a spoiler-filled discussion of Avengers Infinity War. And you get $5 off your t-shirt, so it pays for itself for the first month.
And a Quiet Place discussion as well from a couple weeks ago.
Any film that has a spoiler that we want to talk about, we keep
like the Infinity War discussion, by the way. It's almost a half an hour.
We talked about quite a few things there. It's kind of devolved a little bit at the end there.
So check them out. Buy the t-shirt over at andersonandbrian.com. Facebook, Twitter, The Film Vault on both. Until next time.
We do it for Van Gogh!